I'm Alison Smith, and welcome to my Landscaping Your Life podcast, where I help you to get back on track when you don't know what to do. In this series, I'm going to be exploring the language that you use when you're stuck and use it as a hint to find solutions. So when you can't see the wood for the trees, you're going to go out into a wood and see what insight that wood may have that you can then apply to your situation. When I'm stuck in a rut, I'm going to go and stand in a rut. If I'm treading water, yes, you've guessed it. I'm going to go and tread water in the sea and share with you the insight that you can then apply to your current situation. The best way of using metaphor to solve problems is to not try and keep going between the metaphor and the problem. It's not about going, here's my problem. Oh, Alison's just said get a map. How do I apply the map to my situation? It's very much about putting the problem to the back of your mind and then fully diving into the metaphor. So diving into the wood that you can't see the trees for, exploring the wood, noticing the, even walking up some paths, joining with me as we think about cutting some of those trees back or climbing a tree, for instance. You're going to get much more from it the more distance you can have from the problem. It's much easier to then later on think about how to apply all that lovely metaphorical solutions and how to apply it to the real life situation. Today's episode is all about when you feel like you've missed the time, that one perfect moment, and you're either beating yourself up about that or absolutely feeling perhaps paralyzed about the fact that it's gone. There is no future opportunity. It was in the past and it's missed. So I really encourage you to think of a situation where you're feeling like that about in order to get the most about my exploration in nature, about tides and missing tides and the conditions needed to, pick up the tide. There's extracts from me being at my local beach in Burnt Island, on a beach in St. Andrews, and then in Loch Katrine, which doesn't have a tide, but I'll share with you why I still was able to talk about the tide when you get there. Hope you enjoy today's episode. Miss the tide's really interesting as a saying, because there's an assumption that we understand the conditions that we missed. In terms of missing the tide isn't just about the timing of the tide, there's all sorts of things to consider about the tide, because there isn't just one time invariably. So I'm sitting here, it's just before 6 in the morning, I'm sitting here, high tide was an hour ago, but actually you can swim. Well, you can definitely swim an hour and a half before and after high tide. You can sort of do it 2 hours before, dependent on the height of the high tide. So there's an element of missing the tide is missing that 3 to 4 hour window, which is very different than missing that 1 minute of time. I think there's also something about to consider about the other conditions in terms of, if I take my hand away, you can hear the wind. Now the wind's not really affecting the sea, but it could be, in which case, again, that's another condition that's going to impact whether I go for this tide or tomorrow's tide. And one of the reasons that I've come in now, so it's 6 o'clock, high tide was just before 5 o'clock, but one of the reasons that I've come down now, other than the fact that I wasn't quite awake at that point, is that the direction of the sun means that it's only just appeared from behind, even though sunrise was about an hour ago. It's been rising behind a hill and therefore has only just become visible. And I do like a nice swim when the sea is glinting with the sun. So I suppose there's again a precision, as I mentioned in previous episodes, there's something about the precision of language that we're using, that we use, I've missed the tide,
and then assume that we've missed that one perfect moment. Whereas, what is it? Oh, well, I've missed the tide, I've missed the sunrise, I've missed the... I mean, interestingly, there's this huge ocean liner going past at the moment. And actually, their timing is all around getting everybody there for breakfast so they can go out for the day. So what's the criteria, or multiple criteria, that you're using to determine whether or not you're late? Because I suspect it's never as sure as we've made it sound. It's never as bad as we think it is. There's always another tide. Yeah, there's another tide here in 12 and a half hours' time. It'll be the same again tomorrow. There's high tides, there's low tides. So what is it that you're wanting to do? If you're wanting to go fishing, you might want a low tide. If you're wanting to go for a walk on this beach, you're wanting a low tide because there's more places for you to walk. Anyway, I'm going to go for a swim, and I'm sure there will be further insights from other tides. I'm standing here at my local beach, and it's 6 a.m, and high tide was an hour ago. And today, high tide is about 5.7 metres, and low tide will be about a metre. So, I can't get out of my head that when that a way of looking at missing the tide might be something about the difference between low and high tide. What's the... Yeah, there is something in that. It's not every time, and I think that's the thing. It's like everything I say isn't going to apply to every person in every situation. It's just I'm trying to give you lots of different ways to think about the tide and having missed it. And therefore, for you, it might be about, oh my God, yeah, low tide is, Alison said, low tide today is a metre, high tide is 5.7 or whatever it is, metres. What is there about that differential? I can remember doing a video blog where I was standing at low tide, and as I'm standing there, imagining that from my feet, there was another 6 metres of water. Whilst I was swimming, it's 6 a.m, high tide, and whilst I was swimming, I got a sense of the water's not so worried about where it is in relation to the tide, because the water isn't the tide, really. And the tide, or the water, can't do anything about what the moon, the impact the moon is having on it. So all it can do is sort of go with the flow. To know and understand that in a certain time it's going to be high tide, low tide, and the in and out, and the ebb and the flow. So how might that be important for you to think about now, that it's not about the perfect time, it's not about fighting the inevitable, but to actually do what you can and to hold the space within that inevitableness. Although I do feel the need to say that not all things are inevitable as the high tide. I suppose I've been discussing the characteristics of the tide in terms of making sure that we have missed the tide, because it might be that the tide is at the right temperature or at the right height that we need it to be, and therefore we've just made the wrong assumption. But I think there's also something about why is it that we've missed the tide? Is it that we didn't know what high tide, you know, when high tide was? So I remember, or see quite often, here in Burnt Island, I'm just trying to think how to get that for those on the video blog can see, the fact that over there behind me, is where the jet skiers go in, and quite often you can always tell when somebody's just bought a jet ski, on the, in as much that they turn up, and I can imagine their enthusiasm to find out it's low tide. And it wasn't that it was they'd missed the tide; it's just they hadn't, it didn't even appreciate that tide was important, and all the high tides happened. I think I can remember speaking to somebody one time, and she said, this would make a nice picture. I'll come back at this time tomorrow because the tide will be at the same height. It's like, well, on a 12 and a half hour window here, in between one high tide and the next, then know that it, incrementally the tide moves along. That tomorrow's tide will be, I don't know, it was just before 5 here this morning, and so therefore high tide's going to be about, I don't know, 5:30 or something like that. So there is something about, why are we missing it? Is it because we didn't know about the tide? Is it because we're procrastinating? Is it because we're distracting ourselves? So it comes back to what happens on the can't see the wood for the trees, that somebody was, oh my God, the reason I can't see the wood for the trees is the fact I'm allowing myself to get distracted by all the paths and by all those trees, and actually all I want to do is get to the other side of the wood. So there is something about being clear about your objective, being clear about what needs to happen in order for you to achieve your objective, and then knowing how the tide can help you do that. And I noticed it's May when I'm recording this now, and it's about a month, I suspect, since I was last in the water. And I do swim all year round in a wetsuit up till about May, and then I'll take the wetsuit off for a few months. But the water gets down to about 6 degrees in February at its coldest, and I suspect it'll get up to about 15 at its warmest. So in most terms, it's not that warm. But when you're talking about having missed the tide, is there something about how might the temperature of the tide be impactful, in terms of, I suspect that in the winter, that the thought of such a cold tide would put me off, and therefore I don't take action. So what can you do to warm the situation up, what can you do to warm up the situation, perhaps, or even cool it down? Because I know that the water will never get too warm, but there is an element of, for me, I'm much better in colder weather than I am warmer weather, and so when it gets really warm, I sort of run out of speed. So what's the right temperature, and can you either in action warm up the situation, do things that will make it more attractive, or in your mind? So there is an element of, imagine the tide you've missed, and then imagine the next tide you're not going to miss, and make changes to that visualization to make it a really appealing tide. It might be to add colour to that picture in your mind, it might be to add a bit more warmth, add things into that representation you have for the tide that you're not going to miss next time, just so that you don't get distracted, you don't procrastinate, you don't avoid it. A few hours ago I was here swimming at high tide, and I'm just now going for a walk with my personal trainer, and we've just turned into the, come along the beach, and there's a boat that tried to come into the bay. Now it's obviously now struggling because they have no, well, they either got it wrong, or they didn't know they needed to know about the tide or something, because basically they're now really struggling to get out, because they try to come into the, I'm rambling a bit, but they're trying to come into the bay when the water's not high enough. So, and they've come into the bay the wrong direction because there's some sandbanks, and basically they've sort of looked at this stretch of water and sort of cut across it, and therefore have sort of ended up on a sandbank, caught between two sandbanks, no idea how to get out. I don't think, this is me making big assumptions about what I can see, but from a tide point of view, there's a huge, they haven't missed the tide, they had got no idea, they're sort of ahead of the tide or behind the tide, have no idea about the tide. So it's interesting, it's the same day that I was done a lot, large percentage of this recording of this podcast about talking about the tide, and literally within 2 hours you've got somebody on a boat who's sort of not got their awareness of tide right. That's me just arrived home, and I can see the boat that I was talking about that's now got stuck on the sandbank, as I thought it might. And there's now a dredger or a big boat and the Coast Guard there to try and pull them off. So if you've missed the tide, what support do you need to actually get out of the predicament that you found yourself in? And or how can you avoid getting into the predicament in the first place by being more aware about the tide and the tide in different places? I suppose that's the other thing, that the tide here is very different to the tide even a mile away. Like this bay is has different sandbanks. It's got the different direction of travel in terms of the water. And therefore, you can't assume that just because you understand the tide, you know, a mile away, 10 miles away, 50 miles away, that you understand the tide here. Anyway, now that they've got, I mean, they are stuck on the high tide. The boat is there on the sandbank. High tide, low tide, sorry. The boat's on the sand, so I'm not convinced that it's actually going to go anywhere, because they're not going to be able to now drag it off, I think. But anyway, help is there, they've got support, but they just now need to be patient. They could very well be there for, this is now, we're still 2.5 hours away from low tide, so we've got at least 5 hours to go until they're in the same position with the tide coming in. And they've been there for at least an hour and a half struggling. So my sense is that they may end up having to be there for the next 6 or 7 hours.
Just by way of an update, really, the boat actually was on the high and dry. And then not only was it high and dry, but when the sea came back in, it actually ended up sinking because there was a hole in it. And therefore sunk and then went off down the Firth of Forth to be reclaimed by some boat or other. So yeah, a bit later on I mentioned that, so I needed to update you to say yes, it did sink. So not only did they get the tide wrong, but their boat suffered as a result of not being aware or getting it wrong.
I talk a lot on podcasts about precision of language, and going back to the boat stuck on the sand, it's now high and dry, and I wonder whether when somebody says, oh, I've missed the tide, and we're focusing metaphorically but also in real life trying to solve the problem of having missed the tide, whereas actually the problem now is that you're high and dry. So yeah, precision of language. It was the same conversation I had when it was at a crossroads episode, where it was, are we at a crossroads, or is it the fact that we can't see the wood for the trees, or is it the fact that we're going round in circles? There's a precision, certainly when we're using the language, the landscape hidden in our language, there's a precision needed in order to be able to use the right landscape. Otherwise, we're looking in the wrong place for the solution. We're looking and making it all about the tide. And in this instance, the problem is that they're high and dry. They're nowhere near the tide. And therefore, it's how do they get to the water? We've just arrived. And Gavin, the personal trainer, said, oh, I'm surprised we're not swimming. He said, now I know why we're not swimming. Because he'd looked at the weather and therefore all the conditions looked like they would be right. And then, of course, except for the tide not being right. So again, another example of the fact that the tide is only one of many conditions. And for me, swimming would need this gorgeous sea, you know, gorgeous sun. No, tide's not right. Here we are on Lake Katrine in the Trossachs, and I'm reminded, because Lake Katrine is a lake, so I've not got a tide, and it reminds me that sometimes the belief in a tide and the saying that we've missed a tide is a belief in that one perfect time, and yet actually there's water here all the time, and therefore in some respect there's always a right time now, and another right time now, and another right time. So the only actual time that's not right is when there's a lack of action at all and you never take action. So yeah, just get on and do it really. There's also, when we were coming along, there's 500 metres at its deepest. 500 metres or feet? Oh, feet, not metres. That's a bit different. 500 feet of water below us. And so that's a lot of, when you think about missing the tide and the boat earlier in the podcast where the water was so shallow that they sank. There's an element of, if we've got 500 feet of water before we can't move, that's a lot to go on. So, yeah, I think there's something about this podcast being about not giving up and taking action. It's the inaction that's the problem, not the timing of the action. And finally on this episode, I'm just going to share with you a poem that I've written called Missed the Tide. And I just thought I'd share it because it adds a different dimension about and a different way to look at missing the tide. And I've also put a link to it, or you'll find it by following the Linktree link in comments below. So see what you think. Chasing the tide. Never ahead, always behind. Every move I take, the tide moves forward too. I run, it runs, never bridging the gap between where I am and where I want to be. The tide always ahead in the distance, a vision of where I want to be, a promise of what may be, and yet never getting there, never arriving, fruitless effort of never-ending disappointment. In my seeming separateness, I fail to remember. I am the water. I am part of that tide. My wave will arrive. Not one tide arriving together. Separate waves arriving exactly on cue. No late. No missing out. Perfect timing. My arrival after one wave and before another. Always on time. Never ahead. Never behind. I am the tide. There we have lots of different ways of looking at having missed the tide. And I'm hoping if you were able to apply these insights to a situation that you were feeling like you'd missed the tide about, that it's given you something to think about, a different perspective, more options or opportunities about what to do next. I particularly liked the insight about warming up, the fact that I needed the sea warming up meant that I was much more likely to take action. And therefore, how is that also applicable to the situation you're thinking about? The fact that you missed the tide because you were, not quite as motivated as you might be. And therefore, what can you do in order to increase the motivation to make it more likely that when the next tide comes around, you've taken necessarily action? It's also liked about being behind, ahead, or don't even know about the tide, you know, where you are in relation to the tide, or didn't even realise that the tide was something to think about. So again, it's that precision of language in terms of, if you think you've missed the tide, is that really? Is it, oh, I'm behind the tide, or is it that chasing the tide like the poem, or is it I'm ahead of the tide, or whatever, really? So being very clear about your relation to the tide in your language so that you can then find appropriate responses. If you've enjoyed this episode of Landscaping Your Life, then do follow my podcast and also have a look in the comments below for other ways of keeping in touch with us.